Yeah, good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Please silence all cell phones. The time is 1:40 p.m. Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Today I'm joined by Senator Merrick, Senator Keel, Senator Wilson, Senator Bishop will be back shortly, Co-Chair Stedman, and Co-Chair Hoffman. We're hearing four bills this afternoon, Senate Bill 84, Senate Bill 204, Senate Bill 131, and Senate Bill 28. I want to welcome Senator Bishop to the committee this afternoon. Our first bill up is going to be Senate Bill 84, which is the Money Transmitters and Virtual Currency by the Governor. We first heard this bill on March 10th. We requested amendments from the committee and worked with the agency to develop a committee substitute. Senator Keough, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill 84 Finance, Work Order 33GS1312/U, as in Ugashik, as a working document.
Okay, this committee substitute is adopted without objection. Mr. Galper, please come on up and explain the changes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Ken Alpert, staff to Senator Olson on the Finance Committee. Members will recall Senate Bill 84 came to us really from the Division of Banking in the Department of Commerce. It's a national model legislation put together by the organization of bank regulators throughout the country. Approximately 18 states have thus far passed a similar bill. There are five changes made in the committee substitute, all of them relatively technical in nature. Because the bill is long, I've put section references in my notes for the summary of changes. The bill is over 55 pages long. The first change in sections 6 and 63, when an applicant for a banking license is fingerprinted now, those fingerprints go, instead of to the Department of Public Safety, to the Nationwide Mortgage Licensing System and Registry, which queries with the FBI, unless that individual has lived outside the United States for the past 10 years. The second change, which is in sections 12 and 24, changes the requirements for when a licensee needs to submit certain reports and financial statements to the agency. It's now written that it's the end of each quarter and the licensee's fiscal year, rather than referencing calendar years. The third change in sections 26 and 27 is a correction. There was a reference to letters of credit, and it's now aiming at the proper statute. Change number 4 in section 54 reverts the definition of control, meaning an entity that might be in control of an organization and therefore of certain requirements. Instead of having 10% of the company's shares to the current legal standard of 25%, it reverts back to that, and it corrects the statutory reference to the definition of the term passive investor. The final change, Mr. Chairman, is a simple update to the effective date. This is another bill that came to the committee last year, so we now move it forward to January 1st, 2025. Those are the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much for explaining the changes. Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Mr. Alper on the committee substitute? If not, we'll go ahead and go on to testimony from the department. The director is Robert Schmidt, Division of Banking and Securities. Mr. Schmidt, are you on, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Robert Schmidt. I'm the Director of the Division of Banking and Securities. Senate Bill 84 is a generational update to Alaska's money transmission laws. Money transmission as it exists today is primarily mobile payment applications like Venmo and Cash App, and to a lesser extent, cryptocurrency. Mobile payments and cryptocurrency did not exist when the current law was written. Senate Bill 84 is based on a uniform law drafted by the Conference of State Bank Supervisors with the participation of the money transmission industry. There are numerous letters of support for Senate Bill 84, including letters from the Money Transmission Trade Associations and from the Alaska Bankers Association. There are no letters of opposition to Senate Bill 84. We encourage this committee to advance Senate Bill 84 to modernize Alaska's financial service laws.
Any question by members of the committee for Mr. Schmidt? Mr. Schmidt, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Next we have up is Tracy Reno, who's only here for questions, but do you have any comments on the committee substitute, Ms. Reno?
Through the chair, this is Tracy Reno, Chief of Examinations with the Division of Banking and Security. I don't have anything further to add other than the division supports the committee substitute. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon and being available. Next we have is Dean Fleer, Financial Examiner, Division of Banking and Securities. Mr. Fleer, are you on, sir?
Yes, thank you, through the chair. I don't have anything further to add. I've also reviewed the substitutes and you've accepted those.
So, Mr. Fleer, if I understand you right, you're in favor of the committee substitute?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any further question by members of the committee for Mr. Fleer? Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. We'll go ahead and open it for public testimony. Anybody in the room want to go ahead and testify? Seeing nobody, anybody online want to go ahead and testify? Nobody's online. We'll go ahead and close public testimony. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee refer committee substitute for Senate Bill 84 Finance, Work Order 33GS1312/U as an upper CalSCAG, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay, without objection, Senate Bill 85 moves from committee. So you've been to Upper Calspain.
Mr. Chairman, on the dream list.
Okay. I'm sorry. I made a misquote. Without objection, Senate Bill 84 comes from committee. Moves from committee. Next bill coming up is Senate Bill 8204, Certificate of Fitness, Plumbers, and Electrician by the Governor. We've heard this bill on April 22nd. We took public testimony. We requested amendments from the committee members. Didn't receive any. Mr. Alper, remind the committee about the bill and what it does.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill came to the committee from the Department of Labor, to the governor. It changes the timing for the certificate of fitness is really the license for an apprentice plumber and electrician. Currently, those licenses only hold for 2 years, and there's been a specific problem where if it lapses and then the trainee does certain hours of work before they realize that and get their license renewed, those hours don't count towards their qualifying for journeyman status. It's led to some lost time and some delays. This allows the apprentices to keep their license for 6 years so that they have plenty of time to get to journeyman status. To help pay for that, the cost of the license for a journeyman plumber and electrician is raised from $200 to $300. That's still a two-year renewal, and that number hasn't changed since 2006, so it's really primarily an inflation adjustment. And as you said earlier, Mr. Chairman, there were no changes made by the committee. We still have the original bill before us.
Any questions for Mr. Alpert by members of the committee? Okay, none. Seeing none, Mr. Scott Demereaux, Chief Mechanical Inspector for the Department of Labor. Are you on, sir?
I am on the line, sir.
Can you go ahead and give us some comments, and especially if you're in agreement with the bill that's in front of us, even though it hasn't been amended?
Yes, our department, or our mechanical inspection section, definitely agrees with this. It will overall help all apprentices for electricians and plumbers. It removes administrative hurdles that we find not to be necessary in the process and streamlines their entry into the journeyman level program and gets more people out working in Alaska. It would also save significantly on administrative delays for licensing, while, of course, providing for some makeup money that would be lost here, as well as just inflationary adjustment to the normal fees.
So, Mr. Damaro, you're in agreement of going from 2 years to 6 years for the licensure?
I do agree and support this, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Any initial comments by members of the committee or questions? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to thank the Commissioner of Labor and Mr. Damaro for working on this with the affected JETCs and bringing this was about a year's worth of work, and now we have this bill before us, and it's going to make everybody's life more efficient, and I support the bill.
It's certainly a lot less stress with going from 4 to 2 years to 6 years. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Bill 204, Work Order 33-Gulf Sierra 2370/Alpha from Committee Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Without objection, Senate Bill 204 moves from committee. Next bill we have up is Senate Bill 131, Asian Pacific Islander Program by Senator L.V. Gray Johnson, Jackson. We first heard this bill on April 23rd, took public testimony, requested amendments from the committee members, and did not receive any. Mr. Alper, please come up and remind me what the bill does and says.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Ken Alper, staff to Senator Olson. This is really a curriculum bill. What it says is that public school students in Alaska, K to 12, curriculum will be developed to make sure they are aware of the contributions made by Asian American and Pacific Islanders in Alaska and in America. It's a relatively small bill that makes this change to education. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions by members of the committee for Mr. Alper? Senator L.V. Gray Jackson, would you mind coming up and giving your comments on the product before we move it out?
Senator L.V. Gray Jackson, representing District G in Anchorage. I just want to take a moment to thank you, Mr. Chairman, your committee members, and also your staff. You heard this bill on Monday for the first time, and it's Thursday, and you're hearing it again, and hopefully moving it out. And I just want to say that this behavior is an excellent example of efficiency in government. So again, thank you.
Any further questions by members of the committee for the bill sponsor, Senator L.V. Gray Jackson? If not, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee report out Senate Bill 131, Work Order 33-LS0769/A as in Anchorage, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay, without objection, Senate Bill 131 moves out of committee. Next bill up is Senate Bill 28, Workplace Violence Protective Order by Senator Matt Klayman. We first heard this bill on April 23rd. Requested amendments from the committee members and worked with the sponsor to develop a committee substitute. Senator Merrick, please.
Thank you, Chair Olson. I move to adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill 28, Finance, Work Order 33-LS0242/Yankee as a working document.
Mr. Alper, please go ahead and explain the changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ken Alper, staff to Senator Olson. As you recall, this is a workplace order, protective order bill. It enables an employer to establish protective orders when there's a threat, potentially putting at risk people in the workplace. There were two changes made in the committee substitute. It clarifies that an employer may file for a protective order if there's a threat or a violent act at the workplace itself. There was concern when the bill was initially heard that it might perhaps grant an employer the ability to get a protective order where the threat didn't really occur in the workplace. So it narrows the window by which they can request that protective order. The second change also slightly narrows the scope of the bill. It removes the ability when there's a protective order in the workplace for that order to name a specific employee who perhaps might be the target of the threat, and take that, follow them home, that you're not able to extend the protections of the protective order to the personal life of the employee within this workplace violence order. And those were the two changes made, and they were with the active participation of the sponsor and the affected agencies. Thank you.
Senator Klayman, would you mind bringing yourself and your staff up to go ahead and comment on the committee substitute?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Senator Matt Klayman, Senate District H from West Anchorage. We support the committee substitute. It's a product of a lot of discussions with interested parties, and I think at this point in time, I think it's a sensible way to go forward.
So you're in agreement with the changes?
100%.
Okay. questions of the bill sponsor or staff member by members of the committee? The staff agree with the committee changes in this committee substitute?
For the record, this is Claire Lepke, staff to Senator Clayman. Yes, I do agree with the changes.
Okay. We're going to have public testimony. We're going to open public testimony. Anybody in the room want to go ahead and testify on Senate Bill 28? Anybody online want to go ahead and testify on Senate Bill 28? If not, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. We have any additional comments by members of the committee or questions from the committee members for the bill sponsor or Mr. Alper on the committee substitute? Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Olson. I move committee substitute.
I'm sorry.
Brief at ease.
Call us back to order. Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Olson. I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 28 Finance, Work Order 33-LS0242/Yankee from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Without objection, Senate Bill 28 moves from committee. That concludes our agenda for this afternoon. The next hearing will be tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. There's no other business before to come before the committee. We're adjourned at 2 p.m.